now listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even the Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys rewatch Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
So you dialed that in too.
See, you dialed it in. I'm keeping it light.
Good Lord.
My name is John Sieber.
Drinking clear liquid.
You are drinking. We are so far ahead of theirs. We watched a couple episodes and now we're recording, but
yeah,
that's three episodes from the one we're talking about now. Oh, really? You realize that, right?
What is clear liquid? What is that?
It's from the party that she went to, where Carrie went to.
And the brown party.
Yeah, where she gives the guy, where they ask her if she was sucking the guy's dick in the courtyard. Which is way far ahead of where we're at now.
We gotta backtrack.
What episode are we? What episode? The cast system?
What are we doing? No, we're
the
not
cast doing the system.
No, we're doing the chicken dance, bro.
Oh,
we're doing
the chicken dance. The chicken dance. With my favorite.
The cast system was the one that we were talking about.
Yeah.
My favorite character in all of Sex and the City.
Who is it?
Who?
The respectful dad who gets
also not supposed to be, like, we're supposed to be putting on the facade like we haven't watched the episode yet.
Well,
I'll say this. We're still going to go away and watch it.
We're having a night. Tonight was like such a nice family watch.
It was.
We just like, instead of doing the podcast, we just like sat down. We ended up watching with a few friends. Mm-hmm. In a couple
bottles of wine
in your new living space.
Yeah,
it was like it was actually the most enjoyable. Since that's the first time we watched together, like doing the Zooms and then walking away and then watching it on your own is always like, oh yeah, this watching it like that's what
so
makes
fun.
It great.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Sex and the City is so fun to watch with a bunch of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you,
especially the second time through.
Yeah.
Because
then you can be like, oh, this is the point where this happens. Like that kind of thing.
And I wonder if in our Zoom episodes, if there was a dip off in
dude, stop being
in inside jokes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Of weird moments because you see them on your own and then you have to explain them like later.
Yeah.
And here there's just like so many hilarious.
Well, what's great is like when something ridiculously funny happens, we rewind so you can get a video or a picture of it. And that always makes it really fun to rewatch the ridiculous moment again.
Yeah. A rewatch within a rewatch.
Yeah. Rewatch.
What other shows have y'all rewatched in your life?
Hmm. I've watched Arrested Development about 1,000 times.
Really?
Yeah. And I watched it very, Kevin does a joke about this, but I also watched it very early on. Remember Saving Bluth.
Yeah.
And then like just watched it all through college.
Mm.
Ali G show. Watched
Ali
a lot
G
of
show.
That.
Dude, I haven't watched all of the Ali G show. Ugh. I've seen like parts of it, but I have not watched the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Respect HBO.
Booyakasha.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. That was HBO.
And then The Office.
The Office.
Yeah.
British or American?
Both.
British Office I've probably seen, and this is all, I haven't rewatched it in like 8 years, but it's like the first few years of that, I think, watched it like 9 times in a row.
The British Office Christmas specials are one of the best things to ever be on television.
So good. I just love the British Christmas special culture that they have like a half hour TV show. And then at Christmas, they have like a 1 hour special. Like that is something that I don't know how much fucking money HBO Max is throwing at Friends to do a reunion, but it's all for like for 1 hour. At least they're getting their money's worth.
Wait, it's just a 1 hour episode?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Then they're going to bring back like old stuff from other episodes.
What?
I think they're going to narratively bring back like, oh, remember this? Like they're going to narratively bring back like pivot. Like I don't know if this is what's going to happen. I think they're going to like work in stuff like that. And it's like they're going to revisit old characters.
That's just going to be like a ton of inside baseball.
Well, inside baseball for people that have like been waiting for it. But you're right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Ton of inside baseball.
Like, Friends is like super periphery for me. Katie always watches Friends.
Really?
I check it out. Like,
Friends and The Office are like the two most valuable television properties.
Wait, when you said Friends, you it sounded like you said Fringe. Do you remember the show Fringe with Joshua Jackson? Was it Fringe?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was after. That's J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, it was kind of like.
Wait, is it was Fringe like or a, Fringe?
It's Fringe.
Yeah,
Fringe. Right. It was like a Lost meets Twin Peaks kind of like.
Yeah,
I guess it was like it was very J.J. Abrams. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was it was like the sequel to not sequel, but it was like he did Alias, and then it was like here's this other sci-fi type show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Joshua Jackson, Pacey.
Pacey.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Who's Pacey?
Oh, he's from Dawson's Creek. Yeah.
I don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
Welcome to the Dawson Dudes. I'm James Vanderbeek.
And I
James Vanderspeak. Dawson Chap.
James Vanderspeak. That's the podcast we got to start. James Vanderspeak. All about Dawson's Creek and Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. The side characters. He played James Vanderbeek in that show.
He was?
Yeah, he played. It was Kristen Ritter, but her neighbor was James Vanderbeek, and played by James Vanderbeek.
That I heard Don't Trust the Bee was pretty good. One of the biggest shows that I feel like people are sad that it got canceled was Pushing Daisy. I never watched it, but that had a pretty big fan base.
Paul F. Tompkins was in that show.
Okay.
The stand up. There's like a it was like kind of one of those shows that was like a very like ahead of its time kind of show.
Do you guys remember TV theme songs? Like how awesome they were?
Yeah, remember there used to be CDs of TV theme songs.
I'm a huge, huge TV theme song guy.
Do, 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 do.
Great one.
Do. What I have to do is memory. The memory of ever written into me. You miss your forever.
Dude, you're really good at that, Corey.
Thank you.
Everywhere you look, everywhere.
All right, around the circle.
Okay.
Favorite TV theme song. You get one. You can. This is like, you know my rules when I play these games. You can change them. It doesn't matter.
Know,
you can switch.
Man, I just had one, and I think it was instrumental.
Totally fine.
Step by step.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up there. Yeah.
Wow.
Day by day.
I got two.
No. That's not the game we're playing. We're playing one.
Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons.
Oh, good one.
Looking to find, we're two of a kind, making it grow, making it show. Together, we're going to find our way.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman, early appearance.
Yeah. That was Bateman.
Yeah.
Mind. Rising, fall on the wings of my dream, standing tall. Perfect Strangers.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure if that's how it goes. Did I get it right?
Yeah, that's a good one. I saw Balky walking down the street in Midtown one time, and I just...
Dude, I bet he just had a strut.
Just from like a lot.
Fucking Balky strut.
Oh, and it was like, he was walking across the street way far away from me, and I was just like, Balky! He was like... rolled his eyes.
He just looked at me and he goes,
"That was awesome,
cousin."
Yeah,
dude, cousin. If there's one thing about Kevin, you are not ashamed to like, find and like talk to a celebrity.
Yeah, nah.
I was
somewhere.
They may not like it, but then they shouldn't have accepted.
You tell the story. It's not your best celebrity story, but Sean,
Oh, God.
No, Sean Astin's story.
That's so.
I'll say this: the Sean Astin story is not only a great celebrity story, but it's a story of a good friend, and it's you being a good friend to me.
So Corey and I talk about the part in Lord of the Rings where Frodo says, "Corey, go for it." When Frodo says,
"I want to hear more about Sam,"
when Samwise Gamgee, and I went and saw a play that Sean Astin was in, who plays Samwise Gamgee. And after the play was done, I was standing there after, and I went up to him and I was like, "Hey, great job in the play. And can I just ask you for a favor?" He's like, "Yeah, what is it?" And I was like, "Can I have my girlfriend record?"
Yeah.
No, you pulled out like one of those
beta cam.
Like, boombox style.
Yeah. Record me looking at the camera and you're off screen, me saying, "I want to hear more about Sam." And then you pop in. You said, "No, I want to hear more about Sam." And he's just like, Yeah, let's do it. Who's recording?
Oh my god.
And then we did it when it was done. I was like, thank you so much. He's like, thanks, bye.
But the payoff when you're me is that you just get a video text one night and it's just Kevin standing there going, I want to hear more about Sam. And then all of a sudden, Sean Astin pops in and says, no, I want to hear more about Sam. I mean, that's just good directing right there. Because I don't know what all that went into it.
I'll have to, my phone is 1%, but I'll find it too.
That's insane. Yeah. You have so many stories like that where you just will like walk up to celebrities, just like no issue, no shame, no embarrassment.
Yeah. Like,
here you go.
I'm.
Oh.
Look at him after.
Wait, let me see it. Oh my god. Listen, that is the face of someone
who hates you more than anything.
That face, if you could see his phone right now, just imagine his face turning to the camera and then just imagine the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme playing.
Yeah.
It's just,
you know the smile that you do when you don't know, when you just do the cheek smile.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're just like, okay. Oh. And you're also like, you know what? I'm going to do a Fado play. It's like a French farce that's like kind of obscure. It's like a theatery thing to do. That's like, you know what? Like, I'm going to get away. I'm not going to be known as Rudy. I'm not going to be Samwise. Like, while I'm here, I'm going to be a guy in an old French farce in the theater. And I'm just like, and I'm just going to be like,
dude.
And then I'm just like, hey, man, remember the, I'm just Chris Farley. Remember the ring?
Do you remember Sauron?
What is crazy?
What is the awesome player though? What a just for him to be like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
go for it.
Like I will defend how awesome that guy is from here on out. Just for like, even though he gave you a Larry David smirk, like he did his thing.
I went up to Jerry Seinfeld once and I was like, I have a question. Can I get a picture? He's like, nah. And I was like, all right. And he's like, thank you. I was like, all right, thank you. He's like, yeah, thank you. And then like waited till I walked away and I was like, cool. What's the deal? Who's the deal?
He doubled.
Who's not liking fans?
I feel like he's talked about that.
Why don't
that.
You go fuck a 17-year-old?
Oh, man.
I'm confused. Why?
Because he dated a 17-year-old.
Oh, didn't know that. No. Come on, Joey.
Well, the peak of
What's the deal? What's the deal?
No, at the peak of... At the peak of Seinfeld, he was dating
like
a girl.
Like his character on the show, Seinfeld?
No,
in real life. Jerry Seinfeld, the human.
Was dating a girl in high school at the peak of Seinfeld.
What?
Yes.
How come this isn't. How come more people don't know about this?
The world did know about it.
Were people just okay with that shit back then?
No. There wasn't the internet. So it was in the tabloids and stuff, but there wasn't like a groundswell of people because people were probably like, what? And then just.
They would look at that, then they look at the rest of the table and be like, there's also a bat boy? What about the bat boy, though?
That's
there are UFOs everywhere.
Oh, that's insane. Well, we are watching Sex and the City.
Yep.
Season 2, episode 7. What's the name of this one?
Chicken Dance.
The Chicken Dance.
Yeah.
Let's cut that from the podcast. Jerry listens to the podcast, and I really don't want to I don't want to upset him as he's listening to our Sex in the City podcast.
Larry he's like, did. I should have taken a picture with that guy.
Now he's out roasting me, just like the National Choir used to do.
Grilling me.
Oh, man.
All right. We will be back. Katie is going to talk us through the episode if you don't want to watch it with us. But if you do, season 2, episode 7. The Chicken Dance. What's the deal?
Episode 19, The Chicken Dance. Carrie gets fed up with Big's inability to pay attention to her. Miranda inadvertently sets her interior designer up with a long-distance would-be boyfriend, and they marry after only 4 weeks. Charlotte has a warp-speed relationship with a guy she meets at the wedding, and Samantha is upset when she experiences Deja screw. And now, back to the boys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And we're back at the wedding.
Why was there what's the chicken part? I guess it was at a wedding.
Yeah, I think that we've talked about this before. Like the chicken dance
sucks
thing. Yeah, it does.
Whoa.
Suck. Oh, I'll say this.
You tell me you're at a minor league baseball game and they bust out the chicken dance. Your ass isn't getting out of that seat doing the chicken dance.
I
quit going to baseball games. The second that happens, I'm out.
Really?
You don't like the chicken dance?
That's one of my favorite.
I like the wave.
Yeah. Who was it we talked to?
What's the best? Why do we end up talking about wedding dances on this podcast, even when there's not weddings?
Like, dude, there was a wedding.
Two episodes ago?
No, in the chicken dance.
Just the other day,
we talked about the electric slide because I don't know
the
it.
The cha-cha slide.
I don't know any slides or anything. I know the chicken dance and the Macarena, and that's all the dance. That's all.
You know
the
chicken dance?
Yeah. No, I was doing
that. Someone defended us recently, by the way. So we got a voicemail that's on our voicemail episode on our Patreon. And
we're drinking wine on the pod.
Yeah, I like that you.
Wheels are falling off the wagon.
Mic away anytime I take a sip because I've seen the iTunes reviews. I've seen the 5-star that we got. That at the end, you were gracious enough to give us a 5-star, but it also said, "Whoever is chewing or sipping, get it together."
I'm giving you a 5-star, and I have misophonia.
Yeah, and I will say, I was like,
misophonia is a real thing.
Yeah, there are people. So I will keep it away.
Someone said in our called in and kind of roasted us. They made a very good point about being a witch of Eastwick at a wedding, which is a Sex and the City reference that you know. But then she also was like, "You guys, I don't understand how you don't know the cha-cha slide because the instructions of the cha-cha slide are in the song." However, something she didn't get right is at some point it says cha-cha real smooth.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Anyone ever told you how to do that? Is that just a freestyle section?
You know what?
Yeah, it's a freestyle.
As a human being, I was afraid of fire the first time I experienced it. I knew that I couldn't breathe underwater, but I did not know what cha-cha real smooth was. That is not in my bones. That is not in my DNA.
I love weddings.
Yeah, weddings. Are y'all excited to go to weddings again?
Yeah,
I've already been to one. I went to one 2 weekends ago.
Oh, you did? That's right.
Let's talk about.
I was supposed to go to one.
Let's talk about Big's power move in this wedding.
Power move just being a shitty boyfriend?
Being the shittiest human being of all time. Like the mood that him just walking out on her in the middle of her poem. Is insane to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's not just shitty boyfriend material. Because
sometimes
you are a garbage human.
Sometimes they have a lack of communication sort of thing of it's like, you need to lighten up, Carrie. You need to like let him be. But even if you don't, even if you're a plus one, that's your one reason. His only reason for being there is not to sign the card, is just to be like, great job on the poem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he can be a douche in every other way.
Totally.
But as long as you do that.
Oh my gosh. Like, I can't imagine something like that happening. I don't know.
We talked about, I think it's at the end of season one.
Then they leave at the wedding together.
I know.
Like, they don't, she doesn't even totally make him account for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They leave. They walk away from the wedding. And what do they, like go home and take, or they go home and do, there's some sort of deal where they're like, they basically kind of like, they basically kind of agree the end of the wedding kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, we'll go home and hang out. But they're not like an old married couple. They're just back together with no definition at this point. I feel like we kind of got into the place recently where like, they, at the end of season one, it was like, Big is kind of like, kind of justified in being like, look, I just want to go on this trip. I can't say this. But I feel like now they're both into like weird gray territory, both setting themselves up for not great things.
Because when you're just dating someone, you don't have a right to treat them, however, before you're dating, when you're like literally going on dates, not even official boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a lack of whatever he's giving out of like lack of consistency, there's like an excuse, kind of an excuse for that of being like, listen, I'm sorry, I don't want to call you every day, or I didn't text back for 4 days because like, you're not my girlfriend, as long as you're not like ditching or whatever.
Right.
But like, once you even kind of say, hey, we're going to, then you have to do the things you don't want to do. Like, then it doesn't become about just what you want to do. It has to be like, all right, I'm at least going to attempt to fulfill my duties in this role to see if we fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you just have to be like, okay, I'm going to this wedding. You don't have to want to go, but you have to pretend to see if you're a good fit. And then not. And he's just totally, he's doing the we've been married for 5 years and I don't know this family, which it almost be excusable besides the getting up during the poem. All of that stuff would be excusable if you've been together for like 5 years.
Right.
But when you're just like, we just got back together type shit, it's like, dude, at least attempt.
Yeah, this is like, it seems like it's like a best behavior situation and neither one of them are on best behavior at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're like Drake. Because they are on their worst behavior.
I'm on my worst behavior. Dude. I walked around the other night.
That's like when, what's the type of worst behavior Drake is on? Besides knocking up a porn star that he didn't mean to.
That's just like mistake behavior. I don't think he was like worst behavior. He was like, whoops, what happened?
Oh man.
I think Drake
was poorly thought out behavior.
It was not planned behavior. I think Drake's worst behavior is his post Raptors win rant.
Yeah.
It's just that.
You want to make memes.
You ever seen that?
No.
Great.
It's after the Raptors won the championship and he just goes on a rant. And
it looks like he's on the team.
Yeah. At first it's like, oh, that's cool, man. He's a fan. And like a minute and a half in, you're just like, dude,
come on, bro.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
Dude, he was acting like Miranda this episode.
Dude,
this,
you were not into Miranda.
Not like I am usually on track with Miranda, but she was just so bitter this episode. The entire time. It was like a bit much.
Also to heckle at a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Here's the complete contrast of Big is the husband in this, that it's like, who, like, yeah, there may be a told you so moment in 6 months when they're just like, we barely know each other. And everyone's like, see, or maybe it's like, you just, you act, if you're in love, you act in love. And if you're not, you're not. But it's like this, like lukewarm half in half out, like, come on, babe.
Mm-hmm.
And then not wanting the duties. I'm like, I respect this guy and this couple in general for just like going for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see the amount of,
dude,
like,
you got a lot of respect for this couple.
I do because it's just funny like how cynical
you got
everyone
more
else.
Respect for this couple than you do our warm-up exercises we do before the pod.
That's 100% true.
That is 100% true. I don't like Tony Robbins.
I don't either. I don't know who Tony Robbins is, but I like to do this. I like to pump my arms up and down and get ready for the pod.
Yeah.
I do them.
That's like a gorilla.
Yeah.
You just do it like a gorilla, run around like, ooh.
I like this couple. I think they're cool.
I will say,
I think they'll be together.
They got a lot in common. They both love architecture.
Yeah, I do like the archetype of this couple. That they, I don't like the way they got engaged. And maybe I'm sure people get engaged that way and it works out. But yeah. I don't like the way they got engaged. Because how long were they? It was a couple weeks.
I think it was 6 weeks.
My parents got engaged after 3 weeks.
Not fans of your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That's not true at all. I'm a huge fan of your parents. You know that.
No, I get
Barb and Jim, if you're listening, you guys know
it. I get
They're not listening? No.
Okay. Why not?
I don't know. They didn't even listen to the first one. Your mom listened to the first two. My parents are like, good job. Have fun with your little project.
No. My parents watched the pilot of Sex and the City, and that's all they did.
Like, Kevin just uses too much dirty language for us.
Honestly, if my parents were listening, I'd be like, this is a waste.
Oh, I would be like, no.
And my mom would be like, stop saying those things. Yeah. But they did get engaged after 3 weeks and then married after 3 months. So under 4 months, they were married.
That's wild.
Yeah. And, you know, they got a little bit lucky, but they also said that, you know, they were both committed. So they're both like.
Yeah, I don't think there's any formula.
There's
like Katie and I dated for a very long time, mm-hmm. and then we were engaged for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and that was just personal choice. I plan on only being engaged once, and I was like, I want to just sit with this for a while, and,
yeah,
be engaged and just see how that feels and what that's like. And I really loved it, but I know people who are like, we want to get married, we're going to get engaged, and the engagement's going to be as short as possible in order for us to plan a wedding, which. It's also fine. I got no judgment.
I just wanted to know what it was like to lose thousands of dollars on an engagement ring. So I was just like, that'd be so dope. Just
be engaged.
To just understand the resale value of an engagement ring, which, folks, not great.
Not great.
they don't hold their value.
What percentage did you get?
It was $4,500 and I got $900 back for it.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's what, 20%?
Yeah. And the guy was just like, oh, yeah, man. Isn't that insane?
I can't believe that.
I feel like, and there will be.
And that was basically the worth of the diamond. That, the worth of, not even that, the diamond. I know it was 900. I'd have to go back and see what the diamond was. I know it wasn't as nice as the diamond you got. Because.
You
just
got,
from looking at Katie's.
That's how why our wedding was able to go to completion.
But I mean,
because I ponied up for the real thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot.
That's an interesting discussion though, because it is, I totally agree for ponying up for the real thing. And I think that you do that. I don't know a lot about diamonds, but from what I've heard, you know. It's a market that was possibly created.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's 100% created.
100%. Yeah.
But you do it. You also do it as it's the modern dowry.
Yeah.
It's the modern dowry. And so you do it, you know, to say.
Except wouldn't the dowry come to the groom usually?
Maybe.
Is
the dowry from the
bride's father family to the groom.
So it's not the modern dowry then. Because I guess that would be, I guess if you're going back to those times,
mm-hmm.
it would be more that a groom would take a bride and his family.
Corey was going to say antiquated, but then he's like, no, I still believe all this.
I was going to say antiquated, and I was like, I'm anti-woke.
It's an anti-woke podcast.
It's an anti-woke podcast.
Hey, if you got a good big dowry, send it Corey and I's way. We'll go over the file. We'll see if we accept or deny. If you got yourself,
dude, if you put that on your dating profile? I'm just looking for a fat dowry.
That'd be awesome.
I'll do it right now.
You should.
Here, somebody. Oh, I'll pull up
that's
my dating
so
profile.
So great.
Well, it wasn't this episode. Well,
I'm not gonna do that.
This is.
It's really fun to say that stuff, and then you're like, listen, I have real consequences in my life.
I'm actually not gonna. Do that.
This is.
No one will get the joke because they weren't there.
But this is interesting because this all has to do with the same thing that Steve deals with, which is like. Modern economics of the job and worth and stuff.
Yeah.
And Miranda's a perfect person to be like, this doesn't bother me. If anything, I feel good about this.
Yeah.
As much as people would want to say it's not an issue anymore, maybe on the surface it's people pretend in movies and it's not an issue. It's 1,000%.
Are you talking about the disparity between Miranda and Steve?
Correct.
That's in 3 episodes from now.
That's not this episode.
What? Why is he buying the suit?
That's the episode we watched. That's episode 10. We're talking about episode 7 right now.
I was thinking about the wedding. I thought he got it for the wedding.
No. She hasn't even met Steve yet.
Hold on, though.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Hold on, though. You bring.
Oh. We had some scheduling.
Who is Steve? Steve who?
We had some scheduling snafus this week.
I want to hear more about Sam.
we had like three recording sessions that got completely mixed up and backwards. So
listen, if this is your first time listening to Bradshaw Boys, this is the perfect place to get into it. Because this is what it's like.
You know, sometimes...
Wait, can you real quick do a summary of this the chicken dance?
Yeah.
Yeah. We watched...
Charlotte wears a hot dress.
Yeah.
Charlotte wears a hot dress and is sexually assaulted by this guy's dad.
What happens with Samantha?
Samantha is like having sex with a guy with a hairy back.
Wrong episode.
Okay. Wait.
Samantha hooks up with the guy that she's already hooked up with.
Already hooked up with.
Okay. What happens with Miranda?
Miranda is just upset because
she tried to buy Steve a suit. Wrong. That's the wrong.
No, she's episode. Upset at the wedding.
Because
of all men.
No, because. Because she was in love with the groom and he stayed on her couch.
And then she got married.
The personal decorator.
And she went on the double date and she was and he got married to her.
And what happened with Big and Carrie?
Big was being a real pissa.
How?
Because
what do you do when we watch the episodes?
I take pictures. I look for Instagrammable moments.
That's true. And you do. And you know what? You do a really good job.
You do a really good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. You do really good. Well, I gotta be honest. I didn't remember everything either.
Big gave Carrie a toothbrush head.
Yeah, he gave her the pink toothbrush head. And then she said, Katie made a...
I know he didn't give her a Carol Lieber verse. That's for sure.
Judith Lieber.
We both remember. The toothbrush head thing. Let's talk about that. Let's deflect up.
I mean, Katie brought up a really good point. There's like an internal monologue where Carrie's like, there's only one pink toothbrush head. And he gave it to me. Mm-hmm. And it was like, come on.
Like, and he's just like humming while he gets it out of the plastic wrap.
Yeah. How sick would it be if there's if you get the DVDs and there's a deleted scene and it's like a flashback scene of him like dipping this pink toothbrush thing in hydrogen peroxide and then drying it off and then putting it back in the package and then taping it and then seeing a model like leave and he does it to every girl that comes over.
Just doing that same,
the same song, the
where it's like same dumb blue, like
in that blue robe.
Yeah, blue robe.
And then you zoom in on the bristles when she takes it out. They're just like totally spread out to the side, like the fucking seas have parted and it's been in like a million people's mouth.
Oh my gosh! I would love that if Big was like a dumb evil genius.
Yeah, and it's like you find out he'll spend money on anything, but he's just like, are you kidding? These Oral-B toothbrush heads are so much money.
I got front row seats to the Knicks. I can't buy new toothbrush heads. Come on.
Dude, that's such a good...
Man,
there's just some hot model putting her clothes on in the background.
Just being like, thank you so much for the toothbrush. Oh yeah, no man, problem. That would truly
no problem, sweetheart.
That would truly if I saw jokes aside, if you ever did that to a person, that's like one of the cruelest things that you could do.
A good scene from a potential movie idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that that's is
great.
Do you keep extra toothbrushes at your place for not only romantic encounters, but just guests?
I do, and then I end up going through them on my own, and then whenever I need it, I'm like, I don't have any. But I did get a bunch because I went by Dwayne Reed
a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a Duane Reade in Midtown that clearly had been hit by the pandemic mm-hmm. of people just not being there.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a whole rack of just like clearance shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I got like six things of like Lubriderm lotion, six things of Aveeno, of mouthwash, and a bunch of toothbrushes. And I'm stacked.
Are you out of the Lubriderm? Be honest.
No, I still got some.
Dude, that's the best though, man. I have to like stop myself now, but I love going into like a CVS and just taking a good like $35 purge on just being like stock up on stuff.
Yeah.
I used to do that like before I moved to New York when I didn't really know what I wanted to do with what I was doing with my life. And I was like, well, I'm just kind of working a job here, and be like, well, I guess this is being an adult.
I can find some meaning and buying some nice soap.
Going to Rite Aid and being like, I'm going to get the $6 bar soap. Like treating yourself for stuff like that. And
dude,
being like,
today I woke up after like, I've had a bunch of stuff. I feel like I've been very busy the past few weeks, and today was the first day I didn't have anything until tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, laundry. And I went and got Gain because I love Gain.
Really?
Yeah, I love Gain.
Why?
What is Gain?
The
detergent.
Detergent.
Oh, okay.
It's just my favorite detergent. I don't know.
Why? Is it the smell?
Mm-hmm. People will be like, oh,
dude, can you make a spinoff podcast instead of my favorite?
The Gain guys?
The Gain guys?
My favorite game. My favorite detergent.
My favorite detergent. Yeah. Like, so there I was. I got Gain. I went. I got a haircut.
I thought Gain could have been like some Brad Castleberry like protein supplement or something.
Yeah.
Like
that. Oh, no. I have put on like 8 pounds the past few months, though.
Really?
Yeah,
you look healthy at worst.
You know how we've just
like
social.
I was trying to spin that into a compliment, and I'm like, you don't look
dude,
bad.
Things to say on a first date featuring Corey Cavan. You look healthy at worst.
I'm gonna say that on every first date I go on for the rest of my life.
Build your dating profile first. I'm looking for a fat dowry.
I'm looking for a fat dowry.
And then the first thing that they say when they reach out to you is, you look healthy at worst.
Dude,
you're like my friend.
I'll go through and do it and respond right now. You look healthy at worst.
My friend Kevin really responded well to that compliment.
That's weird.
That was a compliment. But no, I did all those like domesticy type things that like make you feel like an adult. And mm-hmm. I did laundry, and then I like cleaned up my whole apartment. I installed my fans like for getting ready for summer.
Mm-hmm.
And
only fans.
But do you not do AC units? You just do fans?
Right now,
only
I'm just
fans?
Gonna do. I'm doing OnlyFans for
only
now.
Fans? Wow.
Subscribe to my OnlyFans. Keep mm-hmm. the. Well, I'm gonna try and for now only do two window fans and see what
Whoa.
Happens.
Oh, but you're also leaving in July.
Oh yeah, you won't
yeah.
be here.
When you're going to I'm gonna sublet
the land of central.
But I would love to sublet my apartment and leave the ACs in the closet and never tell the people that they're
Wouldn't
there.
They just find the AC units in the closet? And put
no,
in?
because I'd sublet, show them all around, and just be like, here's the living room, and this is the bathroom, here's the bedroom. Don't look in that closet.
Here's one thing you do have to think about, and this I have been.
If anyone wants to sublet my apartment,
don't look in the closet.
Don't look in the closet and message the Instagram.
He's got three AC units and a Target bag full of used Lubriderm bottles.
Dude, they might sweat into your mattress. They're gonna be sleeping on your bed. They might sweat into your mattress.
I love where Corey's mind goes.
That is disgusting.
It is because I am a hot sleeper.
This has been brought to you by Casper.
Exactly. Listen, Casper,
which is what I have.
Casper, hit us up. No, I'm a hot sleeper, and if you don't regulate your temp, you can sweat into that mattress.
Yeah.
And you're gonna sweat into your mattress, you want to be you sweating into the mattress. You want to be a stranger.
True.
And I sweat. That's why I got these fans.
You know?
And you sweat. Sweat, everybody take control. Let the rhythm move you. Sweat.
Let's talk about Charlotte.
I knew you wanted to talk about Charlotte in that dress.
And
you are unbelievably
so,
horned up for
you
Charlotte.
You are so backwards yeah. hat, dude, showing up at a party playing beer pong, horned up for Charlotte.
It's insane.
All the time.
Always. Every time.
There was a moment that I don't want to put you on blast too much, but there was a moment.
Full.
Blast me.
There's
full
a
blast.
Moment where we were watching the episode and you were taking photos and you didn't make eye contact with anyone, only with your phone screen. You just go, Charlotte's so fucking hot in that dress.
And then John just like without moving his like actual head, just like dead eyed me from the side. And we just made eye contact and we were just like, bro.
That's how you know it's, that's how, dude, you know
we
it's
watched real. It. Like there was like what, seven people here watching it. It was, and like, you just like straight up, like you're with a bottle of Lubriderm in your house alone watching the show talking about Charlotte.
I think Kristen Davis is the most attractive woman in Hollywood in the 2000s.
Bro, way to hit it with that 20-year-old caveat at the end.
Well, I mean, that's when it was.
No, I know, you're right.
I mean, that's like this era here.
She is. She's legitimately gorgeous. All four of the women in the show are.
They are, all four of them are, but not
I'd say
really,
she has a classic.
Yeah,
beauty.
This conversation right now is probably exactly what everyone who doesn't listen to our podcast thinks our podcast is about.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
It's just like, oh, just I don't listen to three guys just talk about how fucking hot Charlotte is.
But
I also don't love having that conversation because like we're like, it's absolutely true. And also it's like such a weird subjective conversation.
You guys don't have that. I objectify Kristen Davis, and that's the only objectifying that happens on the podcast. But this is why.
We objectified the jazz band that was at the wedding pretty hard.
Dude, the jazz guy and the jazz band.
If you're watching the episode, go back and watch and just watch every clip of that jazz band.
Let me explain what happened. First of all, Kristen Davis and the character of Charlotte are beautiful on their own merits. But
yes,
they very specifically were like, she's going to turn it on to a 10.
Right.
So there's this weird thing going on where it's like clearly just like she's a Hollywood actress. She's not just like, I'm just like a cute person on the Upper East Side. She's like, you know, getting called in to audition for this show because she's been on Melrose Place. She's like
she's like on camera pretty, as we've talked before.
Exactly. And then,
which, yeah, totally.
And then they, you know, they have her in, you know, like J. Crewy vibes and like, I don't know, Charlotte Russe? No, Rowley. Cynthia Rowley. They have her in like those types of vibes. And the whole thing in this was she was just like, not bad to the bone. What would be? I don't know. But they just had her in
leather
like
jacket.
This is the moment where it's just like, wahooga.
Yeah.
And shout out to Darren Star and the creators of Sex and the City and Patricia Field for them nailing this moment where you were supposed to be like, wow.
I will say
Charlotte is so fucking hot.
No, but I will say what's interesting is after the dude freaks out and he's like, my dad's been married for 50 years and like just because some girl's wearing a slutty dress. And I was like, that's not a slutty dress, but I did realize it is it's very low cut in the center. It's like a very plunging dress, but because it's on her, it looks wholesome, but it's also incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
And it's great styling.
Great
like,
styling.
Great. She looks great. It is like revealing, but like not, it's not slutty, but it's like, it looks great.
Also, one of the sexiest things you could do with the dress is have a lot of back showing. I didn't realize that until late. You know, you don't spend a lot of time when you're in middle school and high school realizing how sexy backs are. That's when you're first into butts and boobs. And then you start realizing like a back.
You start getting a little more sophisticated.
Yeah. You're like.
You can go like backs, clavicles.
Clavicles.
Oof. A good clav.
You know, like
you guys been on clavicle.
The little dots, the little like
dimples, dimples.
Back dimples.
I just want to make sure that the website that I just named was not lost.
What?
Clavhole.com.
Great.
Anyway, keep going.
Well, you know what is kind of crazy and almost unrealistic, although that's what makes it so dark, is like that dude just had sex with her and then was like, fuck off.
I know.
Like they just flirted.
No, they like went upstairs and had sex in the wedding suite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like a thing.
And did he fall for some girl in a slutty dress or something like that?
I know.
Dude.
What's crazy is like we talk about this a lot, but it was definitely like TV speed. Where it was like,
yeah.
This happened.
But she acknowledges that because she's like, did the last four and a half hours not mean anything to you?
He does. But like they did a good job of just basically like speeding up the fact where it was like, hey, this it shows immediately that it's like there's something with the way this guy is like, my dad is great. Mm-hmm. And like, and it kind of backplays everything. And then it shows that it's like, oh, he like she's like
everything you've led up to, and now you'll like blow all this away because you don't believe that your dad like grabbed my butt or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It like revealed like who that guy was. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had a Samantha like moment where you, maybe not like, I think hers was definitely comedic, where she didn't remember that she hooked up with the guy, but have you like had a moment where you maybe like saw someone that you didn't realize that you had hooked up with in the past and did again, or
kind of?
I'd like to hear that.
Mine was, I think you know that, I don't know if you know. We had Kevin and I host a comedy show for a while.
Whoa, we're going to talk about that on the podcast?
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't even remember it. And then I realized one day I hosted a show with you. I'm here again.
Every second Monday for 3.5 years. Every time. It was new to me. It was like Memento. You had directions on how to get there scribbled on your arm. You'd show up there. Really,
what does First Avenue and Fifth Street mean?
Who the fuck is Chris fucking Kringle?
Why is Corey getting tattoos of jokes on his arms? Chris Kringle is one of the best things we ever created.
Agreed.
It's amazing.
Chris fucking Kringle.
Chris fucking Kringle. He's great.
Yeah. Holiday shot comic.
That's our holiday shot comic.
Legend.
Maybe we can have him on the pod sometime.
Yeah.
Let's get him on.
What's the other pretend comedian? Like
Rich Gunk.
No, Rich Gunk.
Oh, Rich Gunk.
Rich Gunk. He's a comedian we can have on the podcast sometime.
Rich Gunk. Khaki King's lover.
There's these comedian characters Corey and I would make up because there's so many comedians with just
Arlo Loaf.
Like, it's hard to believe their real names.
There's like there
Ron Toneman Ho.
Ron Toneman Ho. Ron Toneman. What's crazy is if you go through, just go to the local comedy club in your town, whatever it is, Zanies, if you're in Nashville.
I'm gonna look up who's playing Zanies in Libertyville, Illinois right now.
Okay. Yeah. And like, here's the thing. These people are like legitimate, funny comedians. But after Kevin and I hosted the show, comedians' names just have a ring to them. Some of them are ridiculous. I'm trying to think of anybody who's like a real comedian that we could like call out their name that be like, that's a real name.
Well, we would occasionally just put on one of our fake people's names on our list. Yeah.
I mean, Ron Toneman Ho is one of the best because he was the Big Island comedian.
Yeah. He was the Hawaiian comedian.
He was the comedian from the Big Island.
His first special was
Ron
Toneman Ho, the Big Island. And then his second one was Ron Toneman Ho,
Back to the Big Island.
I can't find any.
All right, let's hear about your thing.
So my story was that we did our show at our comedy club. And then it was one of the nights, like many times after that show, I feel like we should like go into the archives sometime because we have like so many stories after that show. But like it was one of the nights that Kevin and I didn't hang out together. And we went out with a friend of ours who we know who like is just like an after hang enabler who just like, he's just like, will show up and be like, I got everybody a lot more drinks. And he'll just like completely, it turned into like a night. And there was a girl there who like I kind of thought was cool. And then it just turned into like a crazy night. And then I went to work the next day and felt horrible.
Oh.
It was such a rough, just like felt awful. Made it through the day, got work done. And then like 2 days later was texting with this friend and was just like, dude, that was nuts. And you just like kept the night going. Mm-hmm. And then eventually he was like, what's up with you and so? And I was like, dude, what are you talking about? And we kept joking about it. And he kept like poking me about it. And then he was like, do you really not know what I'm talking about? And I was like, no. And then it turned out that I remembered this one moment where this person was like, hey, you know, let's hang out sometime. And I was like, that would be awesome. Because mm-hmm. I was like legitimately interested. But apparently we had completely disappeared into another end of the bar. Had a couple moments together and then walked up and down the block together for a little bit and then come back to the bar.
To this day,
I have zero recollection.
Dude, that is so
and
fun.
Then we had seen each other since then and we're totally fine and everything, but like completely Men in Black, the whole thing. Do not remember any of it at all. So that's kind of the same thing, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few girls from college that like, since college was like that weird time where it's like you just end up making out with or hooking up with like the people that are around.
Right.
And then it's like, I think easier than when you're in a relationship and you're like a breakup. You're just like, there's a random party that I made out with this person or whatever. Yeah. But I feel like there are people now that I'll see and they're either like married or like I'll go to one of their shows or they'll come to my show or something.
And yeah, like, yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like made out with that person. Mm. Mm-hmm. But never full on like, well, there was this girl that Corey and I always thought was really cute at this one bar. And we called her Pirate Shirt because mm-hmm. The first time we saw her, like,
Let me guess why. Hold on. Don't say anything.
Okay. What is it? What do you think?
Hold on. Pirate Shirt?
Yeah.
Was it have to do with tattoo?
No, she had gangrene. She didn't have any citrus for years. Got it. So she had,
yep.
Not gangrene. Okay. What is it?
Scurvy.
Scurvy. She had scurvy. She had a horizontal.
She took
stripe.
A shrapnel wound in the trenches in World War I.
Yeah,
and it got infected.
She spent a number of years on a boat pillaging. We saw her, and everyone's like, "Someone should go talk to her." She'd be like outside smoking, and we never did. And then we were at a completely other bar, completely other night one time, and at Union Hall. And they were like, they were doing karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's like, blah, 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 Steve. And it was like 100 people in a row to get on. So it was like, no one was going to get on and do karaoke. And Steve was clearly not there. And they were about to go to the next one. And I just like went up. I was like, I'm Steve. And they're like, all right, your song's starting. And I was like, okay, let's see what it was. And it was Smash Mouth All-Star. And I was like,
oh shit.
And just like. Started, then walked off stage, and then just walked up to the girl that was standing next to me, and I like said like one word to her, and she's like, "That was great." I was like, "I gotta go with my friends. What's your number?" And she wrote it down, because like on a piece of paper, and gave it to me, and I texted her like 3 weeks later, and then
wait, 3 weeks?
Yeah, like I 3 weeks later, I was just out one night, and I just texted the number, and I was like, "I met you at Union Hall. What are you up to?" It was like in a dumb part of my life, and I was just like out and about all the time, and ended up going home with her.
Mm-hmm.
We're now friends, but ended up going home with her, and then the next morning, she was getting ready for work, and she put on the pirate shirt.
Whoa!
And I was like, and then I tried to explain to her. I was like, "Oh my gosh, do you hang out at this bar?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, a few months ago, maybe like 6 months or a year ago, me and all my friends like thought you were really cute, and we called you Pirate Shirt. And I thought she was gonna think that was cute. She's like, "That's really fucking weird." And I was
what?
Like, she was like, "Don't call me Pirate Shirt ever again." And I was like, "Okay, I'm sorry."
But you didn't tell it totally right. She put on the pirate shirt.
Yeah.
And then she went to get coffee, and then you just heard. And she came in and she put on the pirate peg leg. And you were like, "Oh, you're Pirate Shirt."
I get why you're sensitive about that now.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's unfortunately all the time that we have, but I do want to give a special shout out to a Bradshaw Boys listener. Mm. And that Bradshaw Boys listener is a fan of ours, been a fan for a long time. One Tracy Bear, friends of Pod. And Tracy just had a baby, and she told Katie and I that what she does when she wants to get a little alone time, she goes in the shower, puts on the Bradshaw Boys, and she listens to the pod. So hello, Tracy. We're thinking about you. We're so glad you're listening, and we love you.
Tracy Bear.
And your new baby boy, Rex.
And shout out to the mama bear of the pod looking over us right now on one of our first recorded pods together. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people on the pod right now.
Mm-hmm.
Katie's here, and also a baby, young one.
Baby boy Bradshaw.
little Mr. Big Bradshaw.
That's right. Baby Mr. Big.
Katie, say hi. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Please, it always helps. It never ceases helping to go to. These are patrons, right? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything.
These aren't patrons.
Oh, these aren't?
No, but you could be a patron.
Go sign up for the Patreon. We have some really cool stuff planned for it, and you can listen to all of our episodes, mm-hmm. all of our commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And also, please go to iTunes, give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
And you can give us 5 stars.
Give us how many stars that you think we deserve.
Yeah. Give us five and then criticize whatever you would like to about us, but it has to be in 5 stars or else we'll talk to Tim Cook. No. But no, that always helps. And yeah, our Patreon is popping, and double the flavor, double the fun with Patreon.
Rise and fall on the wings of.
Oh, you know what my favorite
making
is?
Making your way what? In the world. All right,
we can do second favorite.
I'm lying. This is actually my favorite. It's not Step by Step. It's not Full House. It's,
what is it?
Bum 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 bum. Three men were sitting in their townhouse recording a podcast all together,
getting drunk on wine.
Once upon a time, and it was wonderful.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.
It's I'm more mad about how you do that than when you piss on my clothes. That's the truth.
We're leaving this in.